Telehealth undoubtedly offers up convenience and improved access for patients, but if it was that simple, we'd all be doing it, right? There are still plenty of bumps in the road on this journey of realizing seamless integration of telehealth into our healthcare system. How do we make sure that patients across all demographics really benefit from telehealth? And what about the healthcare providers that are still unconvinced about how telehealth will be incorporated seamlessly into their practice? On the show today, THT Ambassador Ruby Hartley speaks to Sophie Kessler from CoView. And in this episode, we talk about the importance of telehealth induction processes in client onboarding and the difference it can make to patient experience and outcomes, tailoring telehealth strategies to different population needs, particularly pediatric and elderly clients, and the role that feedback and engagement play in refining telehealth services and how CoView is supporting its clients and setting industry standards in this area. Collaboration starts with a conversation, Team Health Tech. Let's make it happen.
Welcome to Talking Health Tech, featuring content and community about technology and healthcare. We acknowledge the traditional owners of lands these conversations were recorded and pay respect to elders past and present.
Between now and the end of June, we're conducting the 2024 Talking Health Tech Audience Survey. This helps us prioritize content, hone in key messages, and refine the show to make it even better. We also want to understand who the biggest cohorts of our audience are. So I'd love for you to take 5 or 10 minutes to have your say and complete the survey. Everyone who completes it goes in the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of THT Plus membership credits to put towards a membership for yourself as an individual or to help get the word out about your company. The link to complete the survey is in the show notes of this episode, or just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey.
Hello, Sophie. Welcome to Talking Health Tech.
Thanks. It's awesome to be here.
So today we're looking at having a chat about CoView and telehealth and looking at the customer experience through that. Can you just give me a little bit background of where you come from, why you're here? And I'm pretty sure that I saw that CoView was one of the first Talking Health Tech podcasts. So it's nice to have that as a little recurring theme.
We've been a regular, I think, with you guys. Dr. Sylvia Pfeiffer, our co-founder, has been, I think, on a couple of your podcasts. So I represent CoView, and we like to say that we're Australia's leading telehealth provider. We're now also in the US, and I'm their marketing manager and a virtual care expert with them. And I guess what makes us stand apart is the fact that we're a purpose-built telehealth platform, and we've got integrated teleassessments, including standardized Pearson assessments, in the one interface with our telehealth software. So that's something that's not that common, and we found here and in the US that's really what sets us apart. But the main and I guess most exciting part of my role is I get to speak with a lot of clients of ours. And I think, in this conversation, it's probably good to distinguish when I'm talking about our customers and the actual topic itself of talking about how our customers, i.e. healthcare providers, are able to onboard their clients, because clients being patients or clients, if that's the term they use, because that's obviously quite confusing sometimes that the word client is now used as in replacement of, let's say, the word patient. And we're talking about clearly the clients of healthcare providers and how they can do inductions for their patients and clients.
Absolutely. And I think, I guess, looking back maybe even a year or two at the whole telehealth environment, it's grown and it's rapidly grown through COVID and had that push. And looking at that, I guess, outlook, how has COVID, I guess, grown to develop across that period of time and where we're at now? Because there's obviously a lot of other competing telehealth companies out there at the moment.
Yeah, it's something that I'm actually really passionate about that feeds directly into your question is this theme that keeps emerging in my conversations with our customers, both here and in the US, about, I guess you could call it almost like a telehealth-induced trauma. And what I mean by that is that, when telehealth was mandated across the board to all these different types of healthcare specialities. And oftentimes for uses that were mandated then but wouldn't really be deemed appropriate now, that led to, in some cases, subpar healthcare outcomes and a little bit of a cautious sentiment about what the future of telehealth would look like. And so we were a science project in 2018 that became corporatized, and it was very coincidental that all of this happened. And I guess the silver lining was it was very fantastic for us as a corporation to be on offer during the time when telehealth was mandated. But everything has kind of changed now, and what we were being used for then has to be revised. And now people are sort of asking with this breathing space, well, do I really want to keep using telehealth? Because I had some negative experiences with using it across all these situations, which may not have been may have not been clinically appropriate. And also having a look at how can I actually do telehealth better? And that's where CoView's got a little bit of a, I would always say like an altruistic arm to its corporation, its software, in the sense of we're actually really just passionate about supporting our customers in that new phase, because there isn't a lot of knowledge around what to do during a telehealth consultation if things go wrong, or how to set expectations before the sessions, how to roll out big telehealth projects with different types of software, not just this corporate software that was introduced during this mandated period. And if you want to call COVID like a digital health testing ground, we're now actually able to draw those learnings out. And who would really be better placed than the software itself to deliver those learnings and those resources to their customers? So I guess circling back to why am I saying all of this, is that, CoView has acknowledged that things have changed, acknowledged that blended care models are the new mode of delivery, that there are tests for clinical appropriateness, that there is a gap, an information gap and an education gap in terms of what actually our best practices in telehealth, and that's where we're moving alongside with our customers to this new stage of telehealth.
And so I guess when you're talking about your customers, can you just give me a few examples of who these people are? What kind of corporations? Are they private GP practices? Are they allied health? Just, yeah, a bit of a broader understanding of who the customers are.
Yeah, the really cool thing is we've got such a wide variety of providers that we talk to. So everyone from your sole psychologist, you know, with their home practice, all the way through to, we've got some very large aged care organizations on board. So a lot of in the community care. We've also got, for example, UQ. I did a case study with them recently. They do their digital health units at UQ, some of them with our platform. And then you've got, like, you know, the Department of Education in South Australia that has an exemplar model of healthcare delivery throughout the schools there using our platform for speech pathologists and psychologists to deliver services in schools. So, and I guess I've just rattled off a lot of allied health related stuff, but we also have, you know, endocrinologists, we have Alterna Leaf, a plant-based medicine company. And the beauty is that CoView is such an adaptable, customizable platform that it really can fit molds that we never even foresaw it being used for. So it's very interesting who uses our platform.
Yeah. So I guess then what then, I guess, flows on from the customer or your clients, who are their consumers, who are their clients? And I guess there's a massive range of ages, and then that leads to, I guess, equity and how you actually deliver via your platform to these consumers. Who are their consumers for your clients? And I guess, how do you differentiate in terms of other platforms to deliver this care that they require?
Yeah, so, you know, as wide as our customers are, is their client base. So if what I'm trying to say is, I guess, that everyone from a pediatric client to their family who support them to you know, the university students taking the digital healthcare models all the way through to elderly patients of in the community care are the consumer. And the consumer is Australia. It is, you know, and abroad as well, because we've gone into the US. It's everyone who requires healthcare under a blended model. So, you know, there are, of course, different demographics that are potentially more challenged by digital literacy. You know, there are some that are actually on the other end of the spectrum, even more receptive to telehealth, because maybe either they love the convenience of it, or, you know, especially for mental health, a lot of clients, for example, with social anxiety might prefer to be in the comfort of their home. So, you know, when you compare a 65-year-old user who's quite cautious about, you know, digital security to, you know, an 18-year-old that has social anxiety and is quite savvy with it but doesn't want to leave their home, you're going to get two very different views. But what I can say is that what we found is that consumer demand really does support the use of telehealth. Consumers want it. They want the convenience more than they don't. And with the right blend of healthcare delivery and with the right induction, which I guess is what we get to talk about as well, you can really equip any consumer in the right clinical situation to benefit from telehealth.
Yeah, awesome. And I guess gone are the days of lining up at the GP and there being 3 hours late and sitting there, or, you know, your psychology session, driving an hour across Sydney traffic to get to your psychologist, when the ease and the time constraints of today make, I guess, this sort of platform and use like the next thing. In terms of the induction, can you explain that a little bit more in terms of what package you provide and how you help your clients and other consumers begin the process of using the platform?
So yeah, what I'm referring to when I talk about these induction packages is really like introductory packages that healthcare providers can formulate to help their clients and patients have a more seamless telehealth experience, mitigate technology issues before they arise, and also to set expectations with them so that there's much better rapport and overall outcomes. So how CoView helps with that is that we have a lot of resources. We've got, you know, like downloadable checklists, you know, email templates, posters, you know, how-to style blogs, webinars, case studies, like a whole range of stuff that helps our customers develop this. At the end of the day, apart from the resources we provide, the onus is on the healthcare provider. And I think in this space, what I've realized is there is a little bit of a gap. We have some absolute exemplars of customers who do this brilliantly, which I can touch on. But then we also have a lot of healthcare providers that skip this step and then wonder why maybe they haven't had the best outcomes. I guess it comes down to time. You know, a lot of clinicians don't have the time. It comes down to a lack of training and familiarity themselves and not knowing where to get that information, like not knowing that, for example, CoView has that information. And then I just think, frankly, you know, there's a big part of telehealth that requires buy-in, you know. So it's not as simple as you just buy a plan on a software and then you just roll it out. It's like you've actually got to think about all these strategies and these different elements to make it work. So we provide the resources, but I can definitely, I'd love to actually go in, if you don't mind, into a couple of practical tips about what those induction packages could look like, because they're twofold. There's an email, like a welcome email, and what that should contain. And then there's doing test calls, like introductory calls, and what that should look like.
Yeah, great. Yeah, please tell me more about the, I guess, how this process works and how, what delivery options you give your consumers.
Yeah, cool. So so when you do an induction package, what we'd recommend for our healthcare customers to include in their emails are some simple basic items. So one of them is just simply how to join. So what they actually need to do to connect to that call. With a platform like CoView, it's actually very easy because you don't download anything as a client. You just click whatever link that your healthcare provider has sent you and you just appear in a web browser. So the requirements there are really just around what browser, what internet speed, those kind of things, mic and camera setup are required. And then as well as that, something
things
really
that we were struggling with today.
Exactly. And it's so ironic because it happens a lot, even for the best of us. So actually, one of our clients, he's awesome, Chris from Eat, Speak, Learn. He actually quoted in our case study, I don't care, something like, I don't care what telehealth platform you have, there will always be tech issues. And that's actually come exactly why this is so important, because you got to expect it. So one really great thing you can do, and maybe we should have done this beforehand, is a pre-call test that you can click on. Actually, we've got one on our website. So if you include a link in the email to a pre-call test, you can give the power to the patient or client to pre-check their mic and camera setup and the internet connection. And that will take away that part of the equation before you get started. I'd also recommend if there's any specific items or activities you need your clients to do, like for example, if it's a pediatric session with parent engagement, list out in that email the items you're needing for that session. And then an assurance about confidentiality and security is really, really critical. So, you know, something like CoView, where HIPAA and compliant and data end-to-end encrypted and ISO 27001 compliant as well. So it's worth saying that because that can often be a really big concern for clients who haven't used telehealth for at least a large part of their therapy. And billing and payment procedures, a little bit of info about that or even a link out to that is important. And then to tie it all up, I think it's really important to have a phone option or a support option if they can't get into the call, of course. So a plan B in that, so that's the body of the email generally. And then the kinds of attachments we think can be worthwhile are checklists. We love checklists at CoView. It's our new favorite thing, actually. And they're just great because they're chronological, they're simple, and you can just make sure you don't leave any stone left unturned. And as I mentioned before, you know, we've got a lot of downloadable checklists to take the heavy lifting out of it for our customers, but they're publicly available resources, all that I mentioned. So anyone listening can jump on our website at www.coviu.com. And on the resources section, all of this stuff is publicly available. You can download a checklist, you can send it to your client. And we've also got a lot of FAQs, and developing your own FAQs can also be really handy for your area of speciality. So that's what we'd include in that welcome email. And then the next side, the other side of an induction process really is around investing the time in like a 15-minute introductory call. And if I circle back to Chris from Eat, Speak, Learn, he is a big advocate of this and he's seen a lot of success from that. And you know, because he is a pediatric clinic that's got a lot of integrated specialities in it, that's such an important part of the puzzle, especially with like the other stakeholders they get involved in. It's not just parents, you know, they also sometimes have schools involved. They might even have, you know, a kid's sport coach involved. It really depends what the difficulty is that they're addressing. And so educating the support members is so critical, and that's why it's really important to do those test calls with the most important people in that therapy journey, because especially with kids, there can be factors such as they might have a toddler sibling, and you learn that when you get an insight into their world. It's like a bird's eye view into their actual environment, and you go, oh, well, here are some strategies for the parents of how to make sure that that kid doesn't run in and hang up the call for everybody. And also, you know, maybe the lighting's not quite appropriate. Here are some recommendations of what you can do to make sure that you've set it up well. And it builds rapport, it builds comfort, it makes sure that everyone trusts each other, and it just makes sure that at the end of the day, you don't have any major hiccups, at least with the setup going forward. So they're the main two elements of introducing clients to telehealth.
The Talking Health Tech podcast has evolved a lot over the years, all based on audience feedback. Now I need your help. Yes, you, to shape the future of this show. Between now and the end of June, we're running our biggest campaign to date in order to understand what makes the global healthcare ecosystem tick. Last time we ran our Talking Health Tech audience survey, we learnt 40% of our audience are clinicians, 77% of our audience tune in for professional development and market awareness, 8% of people listen to Talking Health Tech for competitor profiling, and only 2% of people listen to the podcast to fall asleep. And this time around, I can't wait to find out about your preferences for audio versus video content, which topics we should dive into more, preferences for hosts and formats and geographical reach and so much more. And don't worry, we'll be sharing all the insights once all the responses are collected as well. So if you're a supporter of Talking Health Tech and you can spare 5 or 10 minutes, please complete our 2024 audience survey. And to say thanks for your input, everyone who completes the survey goes into the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of credits towards THT Plus membership. Go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey or the links in the show notes of this episode as well.
Yeah, great. And the trial calls, do they require you all to be on at the same time, or are you just able to like have a go separate times and then?
Yes. Yeah, so when, in terms of when you do the pre call test, is that, or do you mean when you do the 15-minute introductory call?
So yeah, the pre-call test, I apologize.
Yeah, so with the pre-call test, anyone, wherever the call is being held from, that client or patient, whatever you call your consumer, they can use the pre-call test button themselves and make sure that their technical setup is right. With the 15-minute introductory call, might be longer than 15 minutes, but we just recommend a short kind of 15-minute assessment call. In that, you can actually have multiple people on a call. So one thing about CoView, at least, is that we do have group rooms. So, you know, if you had a parent at work and you had a kid with the other parent at home and you wanted to bring in a teacher and the specialist all in the same call to do that introductory call, that's absolutely feasible. Yeah.
So that really, I guess, engages collaborative care and making sure that everyone can be involved and at different places and time efficiency. So that's great. Now, I just wanted to like talk about in terms of those hurdles and limitations that you kind of spoke about and how you could overcome these. I guess the other limitations in telehealth, it has to be a bridge or a part of face-to-face healthcare as well. So what are the limitations or what are the hurdles that you see as common themes from your current clients and their consumers, and how is CoView, I guess, addressing these?
I guess this understanding that there are situations where telehealth is not appropriate, and I guess both for the consumer and the healthcare professional, there's still a learning period that we're going through to understand what that is. And it all really, and I hate to say this, but it's very cliche, it all really comes down to education. And so one of the main things is that a lot of clients, and a lot of their clients have a concern and maybe a sentiment that isn't necessarily true, that face-to-face is better. There are areas where it's going to provide better outcomes. So, and the actual research shows that it does have appropriateness for certain scenarios. Like let's say it's something physical, like something that requires physical examination. But then in other situations, like maybe doing a teleassessment for a kid in a remote area, it's actually going to provide better engagement and a better outcome. So it's just getting your head around that and breaking down that sentiment. I guess, as I also mentioned before, there is this like telehealth trauma of just having been forced to use it, not just in situations that weren't clinically appropriate, but also with softwares that may have been like video corporate video softwares, so or platforms that aren't designed for healthcare. And there are so many issues with that. So, you know, especially because there are two elements of telepractice fundamentally, and there's teleassessments and there's teletherapy. And especially for teleassessment delivery, corporate video software just hasn't cut it. And screen sharing assessments just doesn't work. You know, when you need to bring in other stimuli into a call, it doesn't work. The mere fact that the patient can sometimes see themselves while a teleassessment is being given, or that the interface might be distracting, or even the fact that, like, you know, they might have some level of control still over what's happening. All of these factors just render teleassessment delivery not appropriate via corporate software. And I mean, I would also add to that that, like, something like what we've got at CoView is optimized elements to the assessments, whereby, like, even some of our Pearson assessments have what we call digital prompts while the clinician is delivering the assessment, which you can't find obviously in something that's not purpose-built. So I think that purpose-built element is really, really important, especially, as I said, for that teleassessment piece. There are also some real hurdles around not having the right setup. So, like, because telehealth requires obviously to have the right camera and mic and digital literacy and things like that. So, you know, not investing in that resourcing, especially in, like, aged care communities and at schools, will obviously present a hurdle. Then I guess the last two things I'd say is there's a bit of a problem with understanding what types of teams are required to deliver successful telehealth. You know, you need to have the right mix of a clinical, non-clinical team. Like, the Department of Education in South Australia has really realized this, and they've actually flipped their entire model on its head. They've now got a flexible services response team, which includes both tech and clinical people. And that's really important to make sure that telehealth works, especially on that large scale. Obviously not in a sole practitioner type environment, but that's very important. I guess the last thing is the thing that hangs over everyone's head always, which is the contingency of health technology on government incentives, reimbursements, and that kind of thing. So, like, there are certain directions where health technology can go, but it's roadblocked because, like, for example, in the case of remote patient monitoring, the reimbursements don't extend to a lot of areas where that could take off. So in a nutshell, there's a bunch of things, but also a lot of positivity.
Just to name a few.
Just to name a few.
It's super interesting to hear about how you reflect on the inequalities that are changing in the new environment. Yeah. So we're obviously addressing access issues in remote areas, but at the same time, there's an increasing gap to digital literacy and the actual access to these technologies as a new gap that we have to then address. And then looking at clinical governance surrounding these areas and having not the appropriate government funding and not the appropriate government delivery of healthcare for these areas. So I guess, as it always does, it takes off within the private sector, but how will that then fit into Medicare and public health and all the, I guess, other aspects of it? It's quite interesting, and it will be quite interesting to watch, because I guess I can relate it quite closely to my work in terms of looking at a follow-up service as a trauma nurse in a public hospital, and how telehealth would be so worthwhile in looking at follow-up services for patients, seeing how they're coping at home after big traumas, how these injuries are impacting their life, and then being able to refer them on to other services. And so you can see a big hole in how these are going to be able to be addressing those inequalities, but at the same time, being mindful of your hurdles that you're dealing with your current consumers.
No, I love that you touched on that follow-up piece, because, you know, we've had a very successful pilot through the Victorian Virtual Education Department. Victorian Virtual Emergency Department with Health Direct, whom we power. And that's been pretty awesome to see. And we've had success with virtual triaging, but the future really looks like what you described, having telehealth the way to follow up therapy, do like long-term therapy follow-up type stuff. And I think that this hasn't been pushed enough, and we're still missing a couple of pieces of the puzzle to really get this to take off. And I think at home community care is huge in so many regards. And it all comes back to the fact that the future, as I see it through the conversations that I've had, really looks like patient-centric care. We're trying to empower patients more and more to take control of their health. And when they are able to do these like long-term treatments and follow-ups in the community, we reduce instances of chronic illness. You know, we solve a lot of our like resourcing issues, and ultimately we should be able to get better healthcare outcomes. So like that's where the exciting landscape is, I feel, for health tech to really define the future of healthcare, is in that community care space at home.
Yeah, and I guess you just answered my next question, which was what do you see for the future and what do you see as the holes in which you can address through CoView and I guess the different platforms for these vulnerable populations, as you said, the pediatrics, the aged care?
Yeah, so I think I could take it another level. There's an absolutely awesome couple of paragraphs from a case study we did with UQ around how they see the future of telehealth. So I may rely on some of their insights on this one too. But I think first things first, the consumers do overwhelmingly want it. And you can see this in Woolworths telehealth service that they made available. You can see this in a various range of studies out there. So the consumers want it. And fundamentally, despite some digital literacy issues for certain segments of society, the majority now do have the digital literacy to be able to use telehealth, which is great. So if you remove some of these obstacles that I described earlier through primarily education, and as long as the government continues to be on board this evolution of healthcare, then what I see is a future that looks patient-centric, and actually a conversation that I had recently on a paper called Care is Care that was done in the industry around comparative healthcare models suggests that we could take it even further when you look at like the Danish model. So in Denmark, they don't call patients clients. They don't even call them clients. They actually call them citizens. And my understanding is that by calling them citizens, you're putting the onus on them to control and take accountability for their health. And that's a great future, if you ask me, when you look at the problems we've got of resourcing and of chronic illness, amongst other things, because that seems to like solve all of them. So we've got the tech. We just need to keep getting the incentives and the support from government. And we need to work together as well, because interoperability will continue to be a big point moving forward between all the various different technology vendors and healthcare providers.
Yeah, no, I can hear that, and I can definitely put my hand up and say I can see that that is where the future's going, and how to address these issues will depend on how we keep up with the clinical governance and the interoperability issues, and the same issues and the same conversations come up in all our chats here at Talking Health Tech in terms of those being major issues. Again, everyone working together and everyone looking to, you know, better the healthcare environment in Australia is exciting, I guess.
Yeah, probably as a final thing that I would say is that, you know, that's talking a lot about the macro environment, but it's the players like, you know, CoView, it's those tech providers and the players in the industry that individually can do things to make the future of digital health look better and to maybe expedite this confidence in it and uptake. And I think under what I would say is a blended care model, I think what a co-view in this space can do is continue to deliver these resources for clients so that they can secure the buy-in they need to do telehealth successfully. Because the critical issue I see with these healthcare providers is actually the fact that they struggle to secure buy-in from an executive level because of the fact that successful telehealth requires investment. And that's the entire, I guess, like underpinning theme of everything we're talking about is how can you do small things to positively impact sentiment and secure buy-in from a higher level of a healthcare organization so that the rollout is successful, so that not only the staff are being trained and inducted properly, but even the clients are, and there's a strategy for that.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, thank you. That's really, I guess, insightful to make sure that we're seeing both ends of the spectrum in terms of clients as well as your clients and their consumers. And how CoView can, I guess, offer these strategies to not just deliver a platform, but deliver strategies to use the platform effectively. So I think that is a big bridge that you're building, yeah.
That's it, because, you know, they're 50% of the consultation, right? And so you can't neglect the investment in the other 50% of that call.
Although we do tend to do that a lot of other areas in healthcare.
Absolutely.
So that's great. And, you know, looking at the right delivery of the right healthcare in the right place for that person, I think that's definitely reflected through our chat today. So thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks. Really nice chatting.
Hey, thanks for sticking around to the end of this episode. If you made it this far, you're the perfect person that I want to hear from. Our THT Plus audience survey is now open until the end of June. And I personally read every submission. In fact, if you leave a comment in the survey that you heard this promotion in a podcast episode, I promise I'll reply directly to you by email with a personal note of thanks, and I'll even buy you a coffee next time I see you in person. It's pretty easy. Just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey and have your say.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Talking Health Tech. Make sure you like and subscribe and share this episode with someone who might find it valuable. For more information and resources about healthcare innovation, visit talkinghealthtech.com.